Hello and welcome to the German New Medicine Stories podcast. May listening bring liberation and lightness to your healing journey. Please note that nothing that I or any of my guests say here is or should be misinterpreted as medical information or advice. These are personal stories, not prescriptions. So this episode is really fun and it's probably the clearest example of tracks and resolving tracks that we've had so far on the podcast. So before we get into it, I just want to give a little bit of an explanation. So tracks is a really important topic within German New Medicine because this is the mechanism for all chronic disease, okay? So a track is, you know, you can basically think of it like an allergy. It's very similar to our, you know, sort of conventional understanding of allergies, except that, you know, we normally think of allergies or allergens as, you know, food or like kind of airborne particles like, you know, like pollen or like mold or fragrance or things like this. But actually, according to the five biological laws, the pool of potential allergens essentially includes everything. And so this is, so we use the word tracks, but you can understand it as allergies. So, in brief, when we have the conflict shock, this moment that catches us off guard, catches you on the wrong foot, it's emotionally isolating and acute. In that moment, your subconscious takes a screenshot of the environment, of your internal environment and the external environment, you know, whatever it sees as important in that moment. And this is totally, you know, involuntary. This isn't happening within your conscious awareness, but it takes a screenshot of whatever it deems as relevant data. And this could be the pollen in the air or the milk that you were just drinking, but it could also be the person who's in front of you, the person who the conflict is with. It can be, you know, an app on your phone. It can be checking your bank account. It can be you know, a specific emotion. Very often it's a specific thought pattern. It can be, you know, an intersection. Let's say you have a conflict shock during a car accident at an intersection. Well, maybe that intersection becomes a track for you, or driving can become a track. It can be, you know, your parents, it can be your partner. Really, anything can become a track. It's whatever is in your you know, unconscious awareness in the moment of a conflict shock. And these essentially become biological red flags. And so now going forward, if you come in contact with one of these red flags, your biology is going to respond, you know, with a symptom relapse, without, you know, a new conflict shock, without a new DHS. And this is because, you know, your body goes, okay, well, the last time we were in contact with this red flag, we were caught off guard, and we're not going to be caught off guard again. We are just going to, you know, enact this biological adaptation ahead of time, right away. And so this is how all chronic issues run, whether it's, you know, chronic back pain or chronic migraines or chronic, you know, dairy allergies. So, you know, when we are dealing with a chronic issue, you know, something that comes and then goes and comes and goes like this, we have to look for tracks. And this, you know, can be a little bit of a Sherlock Holmes activity. But today's episode is going to, you know, kind of really make this whole concept of tracks really clear, and sort of the process of how you go about figuring out what your tracks are and then resolving them alongside the original conflict. Okay. So I interview Amy, and this is a really just such a fascinating story. It was so sweet to be part of this process with her. And it's the symptom was extreme jaw sort of tooth pain radiating, you know, down the arm, neck, and jaw. And the conflict actually was a self-devaluation conflict. So it's a very fascinating story with, you know, lots of core components of German New Medicine, you know, kind of explained in a very clear way. So definitely listen all the way through. And yeah, I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, it was like off the scale levels of pain. Like, I think I have a pretty high tolerance for pain. And this was like, I was crawling around like a rabid animal, just like holding my head. The first night that the pain started, I'd been at this first aid training, and I started getting this sort of weird pain that sort of started off kind of more like a teeth or jaw ache. And within like a couple of hours, during this like first aid training, they had talked about like symptoms of people like having a stroke, and the pain went from my jaw down the back of my head, started going down like my shoulder and arm and neck, to the point where like I couldn't move my arm, and went hunting for like aspirin because the first aid training had said like, oh, if someone's having a stroke, like give them aspirin. And so I was like searching for aspirin, and I've just never known pain like it. It was completely disabling. I couldn't move. It was just agony. It was just the worst pain I've ever felt. And then it would go on for like hours and hours at a time. Like I'd read stuff about neuralgia that was like, oh yeah, you get this terrible pain that's like really super intense for like a few minutes, whereas this was like hours and hours, sometimes like pretty much all through the night. And then the next day I would just be like exhausted from being awake all night in agony. It literally felt like my teeth were being like ripped out of my face. It was like severe pain, like cannot live your life properly levels of pain. And then kind of like the fear of that coming back as well was quite intense, because I've never experienced anything like that, and there was no way to sort of explain it, and it had come on so suddenly that it was then kind of affecting me mentally quite a lot, because there was fear of it like returning and not understanding like where it was coming from or why.
Right, like during the days where you weren't having pain, feeling deeply afraid of it coming back.
Yeah, totally, because I couldn't see any sort of rhyme or reason to it, and it seemed so random. It was like, oh god, it was almost making me like agoraphobic, because I was like, oh, if I go out and this hits, I won't be able to get home, I won't be able to drive home. There was a lot of like fear around it as well. So yeah, it was a lot, both kind of like mentally and physically.
And how many weeks before we talked? I don't remember.
I think it was quite soon into it, maybe like a week and a half, because I'd known that I wanted to talk with you originally about some like other issues, and for quite a while I'd been kind of thinking, okay, I want to explore some other stuff with you. And it was really the neuralgia pain that made me go, okay, I'm not gonna like about this anymore, I'm gonna actually like, I need to do something, like I need help, like so yeah, I think maybe like a week or a week and a half into it, I think, perhaps something like that.
And you, by that point, you, I think, had seen a doctor and a dentist, right? And they'd given you like the trigeminal neuralgia diagnosis, and like some kind of, you know, do you need to get your wisdom teeth out, was sort of the question, right?
Yeah, I'd seen a doctor, not because that was particularly the route I wanted to go down, but for my work, I couldn't work anymore because I was just in this like agony. So I needed to get a doctor's note. The doctors sent me straight to a dentist who said that there was like a slight cavity under my wisdom tooth, but that he didn't think that was causing this neuralgia pain or the pain in my arm. So he sent me straight back to the doctor. They diagnosed trigeminal neuralgia and kind of just gave me some epilepsy drugs, which I had zero interest in taking, so I didn't take the epilepsy drugs. And that was kind of their answer to it, just like take the epilepsy drugs and see how you get on. But that didn't sort of feel right for me. I knew there was like something else going on, so started talking with you about it right in the middle of the intensity of it.
Okay, well, what was that like for you to start just deep diving into your life?
I can remember like the first session, I felt like I was just sort of blurting out to you like a million different things, but that was actually like a really helpful process because it helped me connect the dots with some things that I myself wouldn't have even sort of considered. So we started speaking a lot, not just about like current things that were going on and my pain, but also stuff that felt very like connected to stuff within my family. One of the things that we got onto was my grandma, who had passed away from choking during a car accident.
Who, by the way, for everyone listening, you share a name with?
Yeah, I share her name.
You were named after her.
I was named after her. And that was quite like a big deal for my dad as well. That felt very like significant for him to do that. He only decided that sort of he sort of asked my mom if I could be called after her like a few days after I was born. So that wasn't originally going to be my name. So there was a lot of like emotion and energy around that being my name.
And you had never met her because she died, right?
It was before you were born? Yeah, she died before I was born.
Yeah. And it was sort of like a unique thing because it was a car accident, but it wasn't actually like the impact of the collision
it wasn't the impact. She choked on her coat button. Her coat had got caught somewhere on the car during the accident, and the person that was driving had in a panic kind of run to get help instead of sort of staying with her, and she choked on her coat due to the accident, but she didn't pass because of the accident, which kind of ties into what was going on with me in some crazy way, which you helped me figure out.
then you were reminded of what had happened. Basically, how many months before? So the pain, it was less than a year before, right, that you'd had the choking incident?
Yeah, maybe about 8 months before
maybe describe to us that that evening and the conflict shock moment.
Yeah, so I had been to get some food with my mom and a friend, and we bought it back home, and it was like some kind of steak salad thing, and there was a few different things that were like that were going on that I feel that actually turned out to be kind of like relevant, like small, seemingly insignificant details about that, which are funny to say because some of them made me feel a bit like bitchy almost in terms of like a couple of things that were going on during that time. But anyway, we've been to get some food with a friend and my mom, and I started eating my food. I started eating the steak, and my mom was in the room with me. And one of the like relevant, seemingly insignificant things was like my friend had decided to like go outside and not like sit with us, which annoyed me a little bit. I felt like it was like a little bit like rude. And so I don't know whether it was like my annoyance or just I was like tired and hungry and I was kind of like rushing my eating, but I swallowed this piece of steak and immediately knew I was like in the shit. It just got wedged in my throat. And initially I like immediately couldn't get like any air in or out. It was completely stuck. And initially I tried to like not panic and was just like, you know, when you swallow something and it goes down the wrong way, I was like, it'll be okay. And then very quickly I realized it was not okay. Mm-hmm. And it was really stuck and I was like really in the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt quite lucky that like for years I have done like yoga and breathing and stuff, so I was trying to use every bit of like wisdom I had in me to like not freak out, but I was freaking out. I was like, I'm in trouble here. And apparently this is quite common, but like my mom and my friend that was just outside didn't sort of realize I was choking at first. Like I couldn't speak to communicate it, and I think she just thought something had gone down the wrong way and there was nothing really going on. So I kept trying to like swallow. I bent over, I was trying to like make it come out, nothing was happening. And I was really like starting to panic. I was like, I'm really in the shit here. Like it was like I could die levels of panic. And eventually somehow I kept like bending over and I was trying to make it come back out of my mouth because I didn't want it to go down. That seemed like the worst thing that could happen. I'm not sure how long it went on. It obviously feels longer than it is when you can't get air, but it was enough time for it to be like feel really serious. And then all of a sudden somehow as I was like bending and trying to get it out, it did somehow go down. It didn't come out my mouth, it somehow dislodged and went down and I could breathe again. And so it's fine, I didn't die, I didn't choke. But it definitely, like, I can remember for like a good few weeks afterwards, I just did not like feel right. I think it was a mixture of things of like, holy shit, I nearly died eating a steak. I think there was a lot of like, that was stupid. Mm-hmm. Why weren't you chewing your food properly? Why weren't you rushing? And then also just like feeling a bit weird around food because it was like, wow, I imagined it'd be really hard to choke and that felt really easy. Like, and so there was definitely some energy there around like feeling a bit weird about eating afterwards, mm-hmm. like just being mm-hmm. way more aware of chewing my food and not rushing.
Yeah.
But also just that feeling of like, that would have been really shit if I'd died just because I didn't chew my food properly. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, there was lots of things. I definitely was very shook up for a few weeks afterwards. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that kind of like stayed with me. And then I kind of thought I'd forgotten about it until.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it was such a like mind-blowing moment of like, holy shit, like you're grandmother who you're named after choked.
Yeah.
And I think we also figured out at a very similar age that she would have been when that happened, is when you had this incident.
Yeah.
And really then we zoomed in on the exact day that the pain started, and maybe you should tell the story of exactly what you were doing when the pain started.
Yeah.
Equally as just like mind-blowing.
Yeah, for sure. So I was at work doing a first aid training session, which had loads of focus on like CPR and all that stuff. But then he started talking about like choking and the Heimlich maneuver and what mm-hmm. you do if someone's choking or if some, you know, mm-hmm. if you or someone else is choking. And I started getting this like, just a bit of a weird, like, achy pain mm-hmm. in my jaw, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, that's weird. Like it mm-hmm. felt like it didn't start off like super intense. It was more just like bothersome, and I was like aware of it. And then it was either at the end of the training or during a break, I happened to just talk to, like, there was a lot of us in, there was maybe 20 of us in the training, but I just happened to be in the kitchen next to this particular guy, and I happened to just say to him, oh, have you ever experienced choking or anyone choking? Mm-hmm. I don't know why him of all the people in there. And it turned out that out of all the people in the room, he had also choked like a year or two before. And we were kind of like chatting through like how scary it is and how how mind-blowing it was that it's that easy for that to happen so seriously. Like both of us were, it was the first time I'd kind of spoke to anyone else who had choked and been really scared by it and how severe it was and also how easy it was. And so it was the first time I'd had a conversation. I'd obviously like talked to other people about it when it happened at the time, but this was the first time I'd spoken to anyone that could really relate to like mm-hmm. what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this conversation with this guy about,
and another piece I think that sounded important from our conversations too was like you really, you know, respected this man. It was like he had his life together, you know, and even he choked,
which yeah,
ended up being an important part of the resolution of your own self-evaluation around like, you know, how stupid am I that I choked on a steak kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Like this dude felt a lot more together than I often feel, and a lot more like organized. And I was like, oh, okay, if it can happen to him, then maybe I'm not like a uh-huh. complete idiot.
Uh-huh.
So then we had that conversation, and I went and sat down, and within like a few minutes, the pain started getting really, really intense.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, I need to go home. I've got this weird pain. I need to leave. And I left. And by the time I'd got home, just within like an hour or two, it was just the most intense agony through my jaw, my head, my arm. That was like the, I think I'm having a stroke night. And that was like the beginning of about 4 weeks of just real bad on and off agony. And yeah, that was when I sort of reached out to you and said, help, can we speak?
So just to put it together for people listening, if they haven't like seen the full picture. So the conflict shock moment, the DHS, was when you choked on the steak. And your, you know, sort of unique experience that of that was like an intense self-devaluation conflict. Of, you know, how silly am I that I'm gonna die by, you know, having choked on steak. And that was affecting like the bone and the teeth in your jaw. And because like the trigeminal nerve runs through that, it was also creating that, you know, crazy, crazy pain. And then, yeah, you know, unbeknownst to you, because you didn't, you know GNM yet, weren't aware, you were conflict active. It sounds like to a more intense degree for the initial weeks afterwards, but then this thing was still probably, I'm guessing, in the background every time you were eating for all those months. So then like the resolution happens also, like you weren't aware that you were conflict active, but there was this like deep kind of, you know, the stone drop from your soul, not just, you know, a learning through the first aid course, you know, what to actually do if someone's choking, but it sounds like the real piece of resolution for you was talking to this man who allowed you to like let go of the self-devaluation around the fact that you had choked. And then, you know, like immediately the onset of the intense pain, because when it comes to the special biological program that affects the bones, the pain comes in the healing phase exclusively. And it comes very quickly upon resolution, as you found out. And yeah, I just like love the story, because it's, you couldn't have really, like just what a serendipitous resolution situation, you know? And I'm curious, you know, before we get to like how we uncover the tracks and
all of that, just what that, I mean, I remember being on Zoom with you just being like, holy fuck, this is, you know, so crazy. Mm-hmm. What a wild story. And I'm curious, like, what that moment for you of just like, oh, like, this makes total sense. Like, it makes sense why the pain didn't start randomly. You know, mm-hmm. it was like very, very, a very specific moment that created the pain. So yeah, I'm curious just how that felt to have kind of sudden clarity about why it was happening.
I think one of the things was it like gave me some hope, like the fact that I was speaking to you and felt like there was, you know, this wasn't just random, like I was like aware of that anyway, which is why I wanted to talk to you. But I think like when you're in that level of pain, it's really easy to feel like hopeless and lost. Yeah. And even if you're going down like the, you know, can the doctors fix me route, mm-hmm. there wasn't any real sort of solutions that they were offering me. It was very much like, oh, we don't really know what causes this, and here, take this epilepsy meds that might have loads of side effects, and even if you take those, we don't know it'll work. And I can see how it'd be really easy to feel like hopeless and lost, and that to feel terrifying.
Yeah.
Whereas this felt like, oh, okay, like I have hope, like there's some rhyme and reason to this. And if we can figure out what this is, I was very clear, like it's gonna go away. Like I feel like I knew, mm-hmm. like speaking with you definitely also helped me feel like calmer about that, because it was scary. It was like freaking me out. It was very hard to like keep my nervous system feeling calm when you're in those levels of pain. And another thing that I'd say, like, I found really helpful was listening to the two like recordings that you'd put on the email when I sort of signed up to first speak to you. Like when mm-hmm. I was in the middle of like agony, I would be listening to those two like recordings like on repeat, just like curled up in a ball, like pressing play. So I think that was also really helpful, just like, oh, there's hope, like we're gonna figure yeah. this out. There's like yeah. there's a reason. This isn't just like, I knew deep down it wasn't just like a random occurrence, but it was really, really helpful to like have something to focus on that made me think, okay, we're gonna figure this out, and mm-hmm. there is like mm-hmm. there is hope. This makes sense on some level. Not yeah. that I was enjoying it, but that it made yeah. sense.
Yeah, it's like so just the most vulnerable aspect of any symptom, I think, especially if, of course, the more painful and intense, the more vulnerable the feeling is. But like, why? Like, I don't understand. Like, it just mm-hmm. doesn't make sense. You know, like I remember that in my chronic pain, just complete sort of despair and just wanting someone to be like, what the fuck is wrong with me? You know, like yeah. I went and, you know, I remember getting an x-ray once being like, do I have extra bones in my ribs? Like, someone just tell me what the hell is going on here. And, you know, one of the many, many gifts of Dr. Homer's work is like trusting, like there is a story. There is, mm-hmm. this makes biological sense.
Yeah.
Even if I can't see it immediately, like, it will unravel eventually, and I will understand why.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you were like helping me to pay attention to like when it was mm-hmm. starting again, like that felt really helpful, because it was like, okay, this isn't here all the time. Like yeah. those first couple of weeks, it was like intense, like I can't remember whether it was like daily or like every couple of days it would come back,
mm-hmm.
but I think our conversations helped me start to pay attention to like, what were you thinking about when it started, what were you feeling when it started?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that you emailed me, I think, like after we had found what the conflict was, and you know, you'd had kind of that big aha moment. I think it had gone away for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And you messaged me being like, what the fuck? Like, mm-hmm. it's back, you know, just like back in that like that scary feeling. And I think because we hadn't really had the conversation yet about what we call tracks in Germany medicine, mm-hmm. you know, sort of a similar, more expanded sort of concept of allergies. And I think I just emailed you saying like, okay, go back to like when you were sitting on the couch joking, exactly like who was there? Because I knew your mom had been there, but I wasn't sure. I knew there was another person, but I didn't know who it was. And, you know, what were you eating? Who was there? What were you thinking about? And can you find like every time in the past, like today, the pain, when we were talking, you know, the pain had just come back on. What from that original moment had you encountered that had reactivated it? And I think I remember like, it was like in a series of like, there was like three emails in a series of like 10 minutes apart where you're like, oh my God. And you just listed all these things and, you know, you were making those connections. So yeah, maybe if you want to share kind of.
Yeah, for sure. That was so crazy because I happened to be sitting where I was sat when I choked as we were emailing. And I'd noticed like a couple of Sundays where it had come back really intensely, like it had gone away. And while we were talking and I was like sat in this spot, I realized that it was both of those days were either when I had seen my friend Alex, who was there when I choked, mm-hmm. or he had called or messaged me mm-hmm. to say, like, do you want to go for a walk today? And it was like, I still hadn't resolved it to the point that I could deal with like being around him. Mm-hmm. And like both times on the Sunday, it was like him contacting me or me seeing him mm-hmm. was re-triggering that track.
Basically in the moment of the conflict, probably a thought ran through your head just like, you know, where's Alex, like somebody come and like see. And he was in the other room and you were already pissed about that, and then it turned out you were having an emergency and he was in the other room. So one of the tracks that was recorded was him, and you know, whether it was like actually seeing him or just thinking about seeing him. And then I think you said that you realized that state had become a track, right?
And another couple of times, like I kind of felt sort of okay, and we were like kind of getting a bit more to the bottom of this and figuring it out. And then I think twice I tried to like cook steak, and by the time I had got to actually eating it, I couldn't eat it because the pain had come back so severely that I couldn't eat the steak, which now it's absolutely fine. We're like maybe 4 weeks on from then, and I've gone from like agony to nothing. It hasn't come back, and I don't have
as soon
that.
As soon as the tracks came into conscious awareness, it was like,
yeah.
And I think you had one more too, I think, where you were driving to pick up your mom, or you're taking your mom somewhere, and then you on the way back.
Yeah, what was that?
I think you started feeling the pain. Well, I think it was that you were eating that chocolate, and I remember as you were telling me, you're like, I don't know what it was. I was just really stressed and all of this. And then we like dialed in, and it was because I think we're eating this chocolate, and there was like a flash of like, oh, I could choke on this, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I wasn't being very like mindful again during that moment. And yeah, it can almost feel like just a very like slightest fleeting of not even necessarily thought for me, like feeling like a slight like tummy flipping, really subtle feeling of like, oh, were you being careful there? Like the last remnants of that was still there. So it was a slight almost like fear mm-hmm. feeling of like, hey, you weren't, you know, my brain has obviously definitely recorded like, hey, be careful. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was a slight feeling of like, actually, you've just lobbed that in your mouth again. and you're not quite paying attention. And what was great by then was that like I suddenly realized that like that didn't play out with some big long 4 hours of pain. It was like it resolved really quickly, like as soon as we'd had that chat and I'd gone, oh yeah, there was like a moment of like fear there. Mm-hmm. It resolved like really, really quickly. It wasn't like I needed to go through some big long thing, which was totally different to before. So yeah, there were all these little moments that now 4 weeks on, I sort of have gone from, oh my God, is this ever going to go away? Is this my life now? Like I was terrified that like, this is it. This is what life's going to be like now. Mm-hmm. And not only has the pain gone, but I don't have that fear of it like returning either. It just feels like it's not going to return. Mm-hmm. And I'm not scared of that. Whereas for those weeks, that was like a huge fear.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I just love this story. It's like it was lovely because it happened so recently, right? Like this wasn't a super chronic issue. Like it was extremely highly acute, obviously, the pain, but it hadn't been going on for years and years and years. So it was, you know, relatively simple for you to figure out what the tracks were.
Yeah.
It can be so easy to miss the tracks and to just think, oh, there's no pattern. I can't see any pattern. Mm-hmm. Right. And it really does. It takes like a commitment to really like taking a fine tooth comb through our experience and just like being very resolute in the belief, like it's not random. It's never random. And so looking for the similarities across all the times when the pain got activated. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you want to say anything, just like, I mean, that's a pretty fucking like epic first story with German New Medicine. You know, it's not like you just, you know, figured out why you had a pimple or something. Although that's epic too. But yeah, I'm curious just how, if it has, and obviously, you know, it's only happened pretty recently, but how it's changed your like relationship to your body and health, and to go from like this JNMs being like a cute sort of fun idea and to actually, you know, really feeling it in a very practical way in your own body.
I think there's so many ways it's done that, including like with other stuff that I've had going on and other stuff that I've had going on recently. And even at the time, even during like our first couple of conversations when I was still like right in the middle of it and like mm-hmm. feeling like frustrated and annoyed, and I really appreciated I could like speak to you and be like, I'm really fucking frustrated and annoyed. Like I've had like these days where it's been okay and then it's come back. And but what it's done massively for me is just get me to pay attention to like noticing what I'm thinking and feeling when something comes up or something happens. And just be like, okay, this clearly is not like random. Mm-hmm. And even when I was like right in the middle of it, I think you really helped me see that, because it was like, okay, what's going on that this pain goes away and then it mm-hmm. comes back? Like, why are the moments or a couple of days even where mm-hmm. there's no pain? Like, what's going on that, how can you go from like fine to mm-hmm. hang on, I'm crawling around for like 6 hours in agony again? Like mm-hmm. that's not nothing, like something happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that gives me like a lot of like hope and peace, because it's this sense of like, okay, if I can pay attention to this, if I can get to the mm-hmm. bottom of it, then there's a way out. Like mm-hmm. which that in and of itself is healing, because when someone's experiencing something that's intense or scary, which mm-hmm. you know, there are so many things that can feel like that, you can go down a whole other like rabbit hole, because you feel like it's never going to go away. There's no answer. Mm-hmm. There's no cure.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas even in like the worst moments of pain, after a few of our conversations, I was like able to hold the sort of energy and thought of like, okay, this isn't random, there's hope, you can get to the bottom of this. And that felt really helpful in terms of like being able to calm myself in the midst of it as well.
Yeah, when you know that there's meaning,
yeah,
it gives you like a something to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it's also helped me look back at like other things that I've had and other like things in my past. Like I used to get like chronic cystitis and all of this stuff, and be able to look back at these other things and be like, oh, okay, there's like a clear pattern there as well. Which then makes me just feel a lot safer in my body, I would say, because it's like this stuff isn't happening randomly. There is like a reason behind it, and like all is not lost. There is hope.
So
thank you for listening. You can find me on Instagram at Freya Kellett, and stay tuned because I have just recorded a brand new 2.5 hour introduction video to the 5 biological laws. And I wish I had this video when I first found Germany Medicine 3 years ago. It's just really simple, really comprehensive, sort of, you know, starter pack for Germany Medicine. So I'm going to be sharing that soon to everybody on my email list. And yeah, more episodes coming soon.